When Jesus leaves the church building, it's no longer a church building. Let's talk about it on this edition of E-Life.
You kind of get tired of doctrine without application, religion without reality, and cliches without truth? If so, you've come to the right place. The place, E-Life. The teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. And we're up to the book of Ezekiel. I am your tour director. We have looked at some exegetical notes, some overriding considerations, and now we're going through the book of Ezekiel, and I'm simply listing some of my favorite passages in Ezekiel. I love this book. It's a wonderful book. It's filled with all kinds of imagery and symbolism, and you'll like it. And I'm giving you some handles that will help you in understanding it. We've seen the calling of Ezekiel. We've seen the power of the vision that he was given, both of God and of Jesus. We looked at the Christophany. Then we looked at the symbolic action of Ezekiel, probably more than any other prophet, known for his symbolic drama in the message that God gave him. And we talked about worship wars and drama as a legitimate part of worship. We talked about it's always important to witness and when necessary to use words. Then let me give you something different. If you have your Bible open to Ezekiel 8, 7 through 13, we're going to look at idol worship. And this is where Ezekiel writes, "So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall, and when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Stephan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room with his idols, for they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land." Israelites were very human people. They were a relatively unsophisticated culture, and God often put them in the middle of the people who had just about everything. I mean, they drove Mercedes, and the Israelites were still running around in cars. The other cultures were cultures that had great libraries and great buildings, and these Israelites had spent a lot of time in the desert, and while Jerusalem was beautiful, it was nothing like Babylon. And so they were drawn to the idols of other cultures. They're just, all, you know, I'm tempted to just go through it and tell you about some of these idols. Some of them are really bad. For instance, Baal, who was thought to produce abundant crops and livestock, a fertility goddess. In the New Testament era was Diana Artemis of Ephesus. If you want to read about it, it's in Acts 19:24-28. These gods and goddesses were fruit of misguided minds, fertility gods and goddesses. Says something about Wicca. You know, I look at things like Wicca, and I think, you know, that shows Pascal's comment that we have a hole-shaped vacuum and nothing fits in it but God. It at least shows the desire. But the problem happened when the people of God looked at the magnificence of the cultures where they were, and they were drawn to it, and they worshipped at the idols of the pagan people. You say, well, Steve, you move on. That's not my problem, man. I never had a fertility goddess in my house. We're Baptists, man. We just don't do that sort of thing. But let me tell you something. Anytime you put anything ahead of where God ought to be, that's called idolatry. It's called worshiping in the wrong place, worshiping the created instead of the creator. And we're all drawn to that sort of thing. do you sometimes sit down and watch commercials and think, you know, I better turn this off. They're getting close to my price. Have you ever been sitting around looking at the big liberal church in your town where they have all the money and the prestige and the politicians, and you think if you're a pastor, man, if I just compromise a little bit, or a little bit here, a little bit there, then that'd be cool. God would understand. Besides, I'm not even sure God's watching anymore. Well, don't do that, because that's called idolatry. Now, let me meddle a little bit more. Sometimes our religion becomes our idolatry, too. Do you eat Christian cookies? And you go to Christian movies only? You read only Christian books and you wear Christian underwear? I mean, you can get so caught up in this religion thing that you miss God and all of that. Sometimes you need to set that stuff aside and say, I made an idolatry out of religion. God is God. And you remember in the prophet Amos, God said, I hate and I despise your feasts and your holy days. Let justice roll down like water. And all of a sudden, these religious people realize that they have made an idolatry of their religion. You can do that with theology. The study of God. And you can be a godly person. And pretty soon, you're studying so much about God that you forget about God. Anything you put in the God-shaped vacuum in your soul other than God is an idol. And I personally believe, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking on it, I personally believe that idolatry is the basis of almost every other sin that we commit. If God is God, then we should worship Him and Him only. If God is God, we should put nothing ahead of Him. If God is God, we should recognize that the reason we were created to worship Him and Him only. And you and I both know that you and I have both been in places where things were more important than Him, where religion was more important than Him, when doing it right was more important than Him, when being pure was more important than God Himself. Don't do that. That's not cool, and it's a moral equivalent of Ezekiel, the 8th chapter, verses 7 through 13. Now, flip over to the 10th chapter as we continue with our tour to verses 18 through 19. And this is an interesting text because it relates the departure of the Lord from the sanctuary. I'm going to start at the 18th verse of the 10th chapter of Ezekiel. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim, and the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. In other words, Ezekiel is describing when God leaves the church. We do church so good in this country, and I'm glad we do. I can remember when we didn't do church very good. And I know, for you English teachers, those are colloquial expressions. But, you know, we have so many meetings in the church. And I said, God, these meetings bore me. And he said, they do me too. Let's go to a movie or something. Sometimes Jesus withdraws himself from the church, because the church ceases to be the bride and the building becomes something other than what was intended. Somebody sent me, a friend of mine, I've changed some of the words, but it's still good. Do you keep falling asleep at meetings? What about those long and boring conference calls? Here's a way to change all of that. Before or during your next meeting, seminar, or conference call in the church, prepare your dribble bingo card by drawing a square. I find that a 5x5 is a good size. Divide it into columns, 5 across and 5 down. That'll give you 25 1-inch blocks. Write one of the following words or phrases in each block. Synergy, strategic shift, ministry statement, core competencies, best practices, bottom line, revisit, take that offline, 24/7, out of the loop, benchmark, value added, proactive, win-win, think outside the box, fast track, result driven, empower or empowerment, knowledge base, at the end of the day, touch base, mindset, client focus, stay with me, ballpark. And this is what you should do. Check off the appropriate block when you hear one of those words or phrases. When you get five blocks, horizontally, vertically, or diagonally, stand up and shout, dribble! Here's some testimonies from people who were satisfied with dribble bingo. I had been in the meeting for only 5 minutes when I won. That's Jack W. in Boston. This is from Tampa. My attention span in meetings has improved dramatically. What fun, Bill R. from New York writes. Meetings will never be the same for me after my first win. And then Ben writes, the atmosphere was tense in the last meeting as 14 of us waited for the fifth box. I know. But don't you get bored with them? Try prayer. Try going to Him. But Jesus gets tired and leaves sometimes. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our catalog, I'd love to send it to you. Well, I'm committed to integrity. This is not exactly a catalog. It's more, it's just a printout of what we've got in our warehouse. If you'd like it, I'd love to send it to you. I usually say on any item, as long as supplies last, but we've got billions of these. And if you ask for it, we'll send it to you. Tell you why it's good. When you need just the right gift, or you want to know what we've got in our warehouse, in terms of gift sets or tape sets or books, then you can look at the catalog, pick up the phone, and make an order. If you'll give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, you can do that 24 hours a day. Or you write KEY-LIFE, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or KEY-LIFE Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or email us, steve@keylife.org, and ask for the catalog. We'll send it to you free. Hey, listen, when you write or call us, would you, if you can, and I realize a lot of you can, could you help us financially? If this ministry ministers to you, and you feel called to do it, be as generous as you can. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope for any contribution of any size you request it. We'll send you as a thank you, five facets of God's love. But that's it. Gotta go. KEY-LIFE is a listener-supported production of KEY-LIFE Network.